Bible, there's different metaphors of the church, of us as believers. So we've got different things. Like, for instance, Jesus will say that I'm the good shepherd and you are the sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. So that's one of the metaphors. Other metaphor will be Paul will say that he's a boxer that doesn't beat in the air, but he sees his opponent and he goes for it. He'll also say that he's a soldier. He says to Timothy, he's a soldier that does not get entangled by civilian pursuits, but his aim is to please the one who enlists him. So we see Paul says that we are soldiers, and Jesus is the commander that gives us the orders. And today we're going to look at another metaphor, which is basically a race, of us running a race. So if we can put up Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Going for the ESV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We can just keep that scripture up there. So Hebrews, first of all, we don't know to whom they wrote. We don't know particularly what church it was. We also don't know who wrote Hebrews. But what we do know is that, first of all, it's quite high Greek. It's not like your normal like talking Greek. It was quite a more high upper class Greek. Like I stayed with a guy from the Netherlands for about 6 months, a couple of years back, and he will say that Afrikaans is gebroken Nederlands. So he will say it's not completely Dutch, but it's gebroken Nederlands. And that is basically, if we look at the rest of the Gospels and the rest of the epistles, that is gebroken Nederlands, and this one in Hebrews, it's Nederlands. It's the proper one. That's why it's very difficult to find like words in Hebrews that is the same in the other epistles and in the other gospels. So you will see, let's say with Paul will use the same words almost everywhere in his epistles. But even just in this piece of scripture, there's a lot of words that has only been used once in the New Testament, which is this. But there's something that we do know about this book, is that it was written to Hebrews, because the writer assumes that the people that is reading or listening to the letter is actually, they know their Old Testament very well, because they're talking about angels, they're talking about Moses, they talk about the priests and the sacrifices, and they know that very, very well. So what happened in those days was actually that if you were a Jew and you profess that you believe in Jesus, that you accept Jesus as your Messiah, then what will happen is that it's not like sometimes here in our, like in South Africa, if you say you profess your faith to Jesus or you've become a born-again Christian, nothing actually changes that much. Like your family, they're still your family. You still have your job. You're still in George or in the community, but nothing actually really changes. But if you were a first century Jew and you said that, okay, Jesus is the only way, and I profess Jesus as the Messiah, you will get kicked out of the community. You will probably lose your job because you will be working with Jews, and you will also be kicked out of the synagogue. So all of those things is actually the weight that is in front of you if you say, okay, Jesus is the way. That is the things that's going to happen. And so what the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, what they will do is they will say, okay, but we've got angels, and you only have Jesus. We've got Moses, and you only have Jesus. We've got the high priests. You only have Jesus. And we've got the sacrifices, and you only have Jesus. And so the aim for Hebrews is that the writer of Hebrews, it can be Paul, it can be Barnabas, it can be Apollos, but he says that Jesus is greater than. And then from chapter 1 to chapter 10, he will say Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the high priests. And Jesus is greater than the sacrifices that they've given to in the temple. And that's where we're starting. So that was chapter 1 to 10, just a quick review. And then chapter 11, says, okay, look at the guys that lived by faith. And he gives the whole chapter 11, he talks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Rahab. And he talks about the people that lived by faith. And now he says, therefore. So here we are. Therefore is normally with a therefore, there's always a before. So here's, we are now in the therefore. Okay. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, people in the 21st century, here where we are today, it's not an iCloud or a data cloud. It's a cloud of witnesses. And who are those witnesses? The witnesses are Abel. The witnesses are Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Rahab. Let me see here. It's also Samson, Barak, David, Samuel, and all of those guys, prophets and everyone, is actually, they are the witnesses, the cloud of witnesses that is around us now. And the writer of Hebrews are picturing this thing of a race, of a Colosseum, of the Olympics, which the Olympics was already 700 BC, that was already implemented. So the Olympics isn't like 20 years or 50 years old, it's very old. And so he says, okay, great. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And this Colosseum would normally hold about like 40,000 people. Okay, so there's a great cloud of witnesses. And those witnesses are people that have run this race before you and they've succeeded. They have run the race and they've finished strong. Okay, they are in the faith, they've finished strong. And they are, what are they doing? Are they cheering us on or are they, what are they doing? What do you think? What are they doing? Cheering us on? Going for it. They are going for it and they are cheering us on. If you think, let's say, when you think, okay, Christianity can be quite a lonely faith. If you think, okay, but my family, I'm the only, let's say, believer in my family and they're quite jealous about the relationship that I have with God, then Abel is saying, I've been there. I've run the race and I've finished strong and I'm going for it. If you're feeling okay, but I don't know where God is leading me. He's leading me somewhere. I don't know where it is and it's quite daunting and it's quite scary. Abraham is saying, I know where you're going through. I believed. I've run the race with faith and I'm keeping strong and I've kept strong and I've finished it. If you say, I don't think that the sin that I've done, the things that I've done, I don't think God can forgive everything that I've done. And Rahab, who was a prostitute, says, I've finished the race. I've done it strong. I've lived by faith. And if you look at the genealogy of Jesus, if you look at Matthew 1, you see Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. It's not someone that came to faith. Rahab is one of the figures of faith. And who are they witnessing to? If you go John 5, verse 39 to 40. John 5. So this is Jesus talking. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So you should think of this. You're running this race. There are the figures of the faith, the hall of fame is around you, and they are cheering you on, and they are bearing witness. Not about you. They're not bearing witness, like they're not saying how good you are. They are bearing witness about Jesus. They are saying, okay, but go. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's really worth it. And so now we're running this race, and it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. We can go back to the Hebrews. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When we profess our faith in Jesus, it's not that then you're like in the training tracks or whatever. You are then in the race. When you say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, you are in the race. It's not like you can't deny like being in the race. It's like a a fish there that says, I'm not in water because I can't feel it. It's really there. Okay, that thing just went over the head. But it's really there. Like you are in the race. And it says, let aside every weight and sin. So there's a distinction between the weight and the sin. The weight is not necessarily sin, but it keeps us from running strong. Okay? So Usain Bolt can be the fastest person in the world, but if he carries a TV, he's not gonna win. It's not gonna win at all. He is not gonna finish strong. Weights are things like there's a guy called, I think it's Stephen Lawson, that says that the good things in life always keeps us from the best thing in life. And he's talking about Jesus. And it's normally good things that is keeping us away from the best thing. It's not necessarily that you're gonna lose or not going to finish the race. You're just going to finish very slowly. Okay? So the question is, Hector, what should I take off? Then I want to ask you, how fast do you want to run? How fast do you want to run for Jesus? And then from that, the answer that you've given me, how fast do you want to run? Then we're going to see, okay, what do you want to put off? Okay. I actually enjoyed the 100 meters. And doing it. But the thing is, I only came first for the first 40 meters. But then my weight was dragging me down, actually. And I had to make the decision to, like, if I would run the 100 meters, the first 40 meters, I will be, like, first all the way. But I was I had weight that I had to take off. But I had to make a decision, am I going to lose the weight or not? And I didn't make the decision to lose the weight because I wanted to compete in shot put and discus. Shot put and discus. And I said no, I'm not going to take off the weight. But there is things in our lives, if we look at our lives, there are things that are not necessarily sin, but it can ruin us in not running the race as fast as Jesus wants us to run. And then the second one is sin, which clings so closely. So other translations says that it entangles us. And that's the one that we need to look out for, because that one can entangle us. So the one is a weight that you carry, and the other one is actually something that is like pressing you more and more. A python that's actually strangling you and entangling you all the more up until you can't run anymore and you actually just fall down. That's the imagery of what that is. And that is sin. Okay? You've got the weight, you'll finish the race. You may come second or third or whatever, you'll finish the race, but the sin is actually the one that's gonna entangle you. But it says we need to lay it aside. We need to identify those things in our lives. We need to lay them aside. And it says, let us run. So the writer includes himself in that. It's not necessarily that, okay, you need to run. I'm not going to run. But it's all of us are included that let us run. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance. Other translations say patience or steadfastness. The race that is set before us. Okay. The race is not somewhere else. The race starts here. It starts in George. It is set it's set before you. It's not that, okay, I'm going to tell people about Jesus when I'm on an outreach somewhere else. It's not that I'm going to live a holy life when I get this and this in order. It is set now. It's already set before you. We had actually such a lovely time in our live group on Wednesday, actually just like sharing how can we share the gospel with other people? How can we share the good news that we've been given? And it's news. It's not advice. It's news. It's already been done. And we can partake from that. And here what Lucinda said, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. So who is this Jesus? The Jesus has been described in Hebrews 1 to 10. He is greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the priests. And he's greater than any other sacrifice. And he's the founder and the perfecter of our faith. We need to know both of them. We need to know him as someone, God, that came down to earth, that took the likeness of a man, humbled himself to take on the likeness of man, never sinned, died on the cross for us, 3 days later rose again, and Jesus made him, and on the cross he said, it is finished, it has been perfected, it is done. And he says, okay, now I'm the founder and the perfecter of our faith. It's funny, just on the topic of every weight and every sin, Charles Spurgeon says, we cannot win heaven and wear sin. Or we cannot win heaven while wearing sin. That's an interesting phrase. We need to see, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That looking is not only just looking, but it's taking your eyes off everything else and then looking. And on Friday morning, we were talking on the men's prayer group is that you have like there's so many billboards or advertisements and stuff that is not good for our eyes. Not at all. Not at all. And then Hein gave the example that you just lock eyes with your friend next to you. Or like we were talking about a movie, and then when there's things that's just not sitting right with Jesus in that movie, and then you just lock eyes. Just quickly just lock eyes. You don't look at that. And you lock eyes with that person. And that's precisely the imagery what they are saying in Hebrews is that we need to look. We need to look at Jesus. So we are running this race. We're not looking at our mates, okay? We're not looking at the people, we're not looking at the crowd. But we are looking to Jesus. That's the only person that we are looking at. And being a crowd, it's actually amazing. Who of you have played in a stadium or like in a large crowd, school? Like who of you guys have played in a stadium? Cool. 1, 2, 3, 4. Cool. Did you run faster or slower during practice or during the match? Like which one were you the fastest? The match. When the people were cheering, okay, that is when you run the fastest, when people are cheering. Not necessarily during the tryouts or during the practice rounds, but it's during the match, during the cheering. That is when you are the strongest, that is when you are running the fastest, and that's when you have the most endurance. We need to know that there are people that has run the race before us, but that are witnessing to Jesus, but that are spurring us on for running faster. So, looking to Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, let us look at John 15, verse 10 to 12, just regarding this joy. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, Jesus came to earth and he had a goal, he had a vision, he had a joy that he wants to, he had a joy that was set before him. He also ran a race. And he had a joy that was set before him. That joy is that he can present himself to people, to sinners, and that we can have the ability, after accepting Jesus in our lives, that we can have the ability to love our brothers. That is his joy, that we can love one another, that we can keep his commandments as he has kept his Father's commandments. That is his joy. That is the prize. That is his prize that he was running for. That's the thing that he looked at while he was enduring the cross. Okay? Another one, Luke 10, verse 21. In that same hour, so there, Jesus sent out the 72. They came back with good report. And in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So the disciples, they were sent out. They came back with a good report. And Jesus was rejoicing. Why? Because sinners were hearing the word of God. Sinners were accepting the gospel. Sinners were hearing the good news and they responded positively to the good news. If you want to, like, that is why Jesus ran the race. That joy is because that we can love one another and that we can tell people about Jesus. That's it. So how well are we stewarding the joy that Jesus paid the price for? How well are we doing that? How well are we stewarding that joy of him that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God? That was very crucial for the people of the book of Hebrews, that they will know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. That is, it's not just something that you skim over. It's not just something that you read, oh yeah, he is next to his dad. Yeah, but it's actually a thing of, okay, great. Jesus, he was the ultimate sacrifice. He rose from the grave, and Jesus and God the Father gave him the right hand of the seat, basically. And that is for the guys that read that. That's like, okay, great. That's why I can endure. That's why by faith I can go through this life, like. They end Hebrews, just to give you an example, Hebrews 11, they end that, I'm just going to read this. So they were listing all the peoples of faith, and they say, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And basically saying that they endured all of those things through faith, because there was a joy set before them. The same as Jesus, there was a joy set before him. You guys understand? Or is it fine? Okay. Cool. Very good. Cool. So, just to give you another example. So first of all, okay, we need to believe in Jesus. We were singing about him the whole morning, and that was amazing. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to accept and also to live as if he is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. We need to realize that there are people of the faith, and they are screaming and encouraging us to go on and go on and go on. And they are witnessing, not to ourselves, but they are witnessing to Jesus. And they are actually saying, like, okay, great, it was enough. Jesus is worthy to lay down the weight and to lay down the sin that is entangling us. I want to close with a story, and then we are going to have communion. So who of you guys know of a guy named Polycarp? Polycarp, okay. Not many carbs, like Polly, it's his name was Polycarp. Now Polycarp was, so John, okay, John was the disciple of Jesus, okay. Polycarp was the disciple of John. Okay, so he is second century Christian, basically. Okay, Polycarp. So he was second generation. Sorry, thank you. Second generation. No, sorry, not century. Not. So, So second generation believer, okay? So now the disciples have already been gone. Jesus have been taken up to heaven, and now Polycarp is there, and he's the leader of the church. And so the Romans didn't like the Christians that much. And they thought, okay, the thing that we're going to do is we are going to get rid of the head, which they believed was the head, Polycarp, but we know the head of the church is Jesus. But so now they are saying, okay, we're going to get rid of the head. And so he is very old, and they have like a lot of soldiers, and they're going to take him and kill him and everything. And so they take him to the soldiers come to his house, and he looks at them. And he said to his servants, can you please prepare a meal for these soldiers, please, while I get myself ready? Okay, cool. So that's how cool this guy, like, he wasn't afraid of death because he knew that he's going to run this race strong. Okay. His servants prepare a meal for the soldiers that's going to take him now to be killed. Okay. He eats with them. Okay. He goes to Rome with the soldiers. And while he's going to Rome with the soldiers, he hears a voice that says, Polycarp, play the man. Okay, that's what he heard. Funny enough, we normally use it in sport terms, but it's, so he says, play the man. And so you should remember that in that time, atheists or atheism meant actually Christianity, because you had God, which they believed was Zeus and Apollos and all of the Roman gods. And so atheists were people that did not believe in the Greek gods. And therefore Christians were the atheists. Okay? So the term atheist was first used for Christians, funny enough. Okay. Interesting fact. So now they say to him, you need to renounce your faith and say, away with these atheists. And he said to the man in front, by no means away with these atheists. And he looks at them. And they realize, okay, shucks, but he's actually implying that he serves the one true God, Jesus. And he says to them, they are the ones that doesn't believe in God. And they say, no, you need to recant. And he says, 86 years I've served Jesus, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? You vainly suppose I will swear by the divine spirit of Caesar, pretending to be ignorant of who I am. Now hear me plainly. I am a Christian. If you desire to learn more, choose a day and I will tell you. Okay. Needless to say, he went and he was burned at the stakes, but the flames went all around him, and then they pierced him with a spear, and he died. But that thing of, okay, I'm running this race strong for Jesus. I'm not going to waver at all. And I am saying, okay, cool, away with these atheists. But he's saying that I'm not going to, that it says Jesus, and I'll never, how can I blaspheme my king who saved me? And that is the thing of running strong. Okay. So there's a lot of topics in this two verses, or there's a lot of things in this two verses. But the one is, okay, Jesus, have I accepted Jesus? Am I in the race, first of all? Am I in the race? And if you are in the race, how fast are you running? Are you running strong for Jesus? And are we going to? So when I was on Next Gen on Kids Church, still in Wellington, we did like a little lesson on communion. And so one of the kids, like one of the younger kids, they came into the class, and I was doing the thing of communion and everything, and he was sitting next to me because his class already finished. And when I was finished with the class, he sat next to me, and he looked at me, and he looked at the grape juice, and he said to me, why are there so much blood of Jesus left? How much, why? And that was for me so profound, because the sacrifice that Jesus paid didn't dry up like in 100 years or 1,000 years ago, but it's still continuing. The sacrifice of Jesus is for all of us up until he comes again. And it's not a thing of like, yeah, it's for everyone, and it's perfect. The sacrifice of Jesus was perfect. So I wanna ask if there's anyone that feels that they are not in the race, that they are not that they're not looking at Jesus, and Jesus is not the perfecter and the author of their faith. I want anyone to come and talk to me or to Chad or to Bob or to John or anyone afterwards, that we can pray with you, and then that we can.
I want to just jump in there, because I think it is a great opportunity, just before we do break bread together as a family, to give you an opportunity to come to know Jesus. I mean, the Bible, as Hector so well put this morning, you know, every one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all deserve separation from the eternal Father. But it's through his grace and his mercy that he extends to us. Nothing we deserve, nothing, absolutely nothing we can do can give us this free gift of eternal life. Jesus wants to have a relationship. And we're going to share communion together as a family. But I would say, if you are not a follower of Jesus, don't take of the table. Don't take of the elements. If you have an issue with a brother, if you've got something in your heart, and this would be, maybe there's animosity, or there's some area of unforgiveness, before you take this morning, maybe that person's here, go make right with them. The Bible's very clear about this. And just for those who might be new to this, these are the breaking of bread is just a, it's a symbol. It's one of those things that Christians do to remember Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. There's only two, the Bible talks of two things that we do in terms of symbolically. One would be baptism, and one would be taking of the elements. The wine, the grape juice, which resembles Jesus' blood, and the cracker bread, or whatever it might be, which symbolizes his body that was broken us. And his word's very clear that as often as we get together, and I know some of us, when we share a meal, we